The firefighter. I loved my job as a fireman. Best job I ever had. It gave me a sense that I was needed helping people. It made me feel courageous. Until that fateful day of October 31st, 2012. I was 21 at the time. We got a call that two babies were trapped upstairs in a burning house that was two stories high. That day wasn't fun at all. I wasn't going to let those babies die. We got the mom out. She kept screaming, "My babies are up there. Someone please help them." The wind was blowing the leaves. I went in and managed to get one of the babies out. But the little boy, the one that was still trapped, was too scared to come out of the bathroom. I handed the other baby out the window to the other fireman, Paul. The little boy still hadn't unlocked the bathroom door, so we had to break it down. Smoke was everywhere. By the time I got ready to get him out of the bathroom, the room ignited with fire. I managed to get him to another room, yelled for other firemen to put the ladder up to the window, and then handed the little boy out to them. Afterwards, I looked around to see if there were any other people in the house. I went to what I believed was the bedroom door. I couldn't see much because of the smoke. I was so hot. All I remember was when I opened the door, there was a backdraft, and I caught all of it. My partner, Paul, heard me yelling. I must have passed out, because I woke up in a hospital with third-degree burns all over my body, including my face. I remember the pain and the smell of grease and bandages, even though the meds kept me out the majority of the time. There was a part of me that knew that when the meds wore off, I'd have to wake up and face what had happened to me. And believe me, I didn't want to. A year later, they released me from the hospital. I'd endured two surgeries on my face and body, only to feel anger afterwards. I'd even lost my job. I had no wife and no family. You know, you never really think about these things before something like this happens, even though I'm 5'9 and slim built, with muscles. I have long blonde hair that kind of hangs in my face a little. I keep it there to hide some of my face and the burns. Although the girls have always teased me, calling me the sexy firefighter. Honestly, I've never felt that way. I have always been shy when it comes to dating. My whole life has changed. I wished for all that love, a family of my own, joy, and peace. I was so mad at God. All I could think was, why me? Why me? What did I do to deserve this lonely grip on my soul? I began to stay to myself. I only went out at night. I got tired of people in the day looking at me like they've never seen a burned person. I would sit in the dark and listen to my scanner, to the other firemen calls at the edge of my seat like I was at a football game saying, come on, come on, get out there. Everything was different for me. I just shut the world out completely until one night, 2 years later, I had a taste for donuts. I was waiting till almost closing time so I could go into the donut shop. I saw this girl who looked to be about 19 or in her early 20s. She was minding her own business when two guys started harassing her. They snatched her bag out of her hands. I admit, I was thinking, will you guys go on so I can get out? When one guy pushed her down, I jumped out of my car. Then I thought, this isn't my fight. But, oh hell. In the excitement of kicking butt and feeling like I'm helping someone, I forgot I didn't want anyone to see my face. I asked them politely, give her back her sack. They laughed. And if we don't? I said, come on, guys. This is a lady. Then one said, wait, what the hell is wrong with your face? Yeah, yeah, I said, not really looking up. It was fairly dark, but they wouldn't listen, so I kicked their asses. Afterwards, I turned to her and told her, you can pick up your sack. Wait, I want to thank you. That was very heroic, she said. I began to walk away. Here, take these. I saw you sitting in your car. It's kind of hard to talk to someone who keeps trying to walk away. Can you turn around? I said nothing and continued to walk away. I got a really good look at her. She was beautiful, like an angel. Shoot, in all of the tussling, I dropped my wallet. Oh, man. I wonder if the store clerk found it, I thought. I called the store, but the clerk said no. I knew the guys didn't, because after the fight, they ran off. The next day when I woke up, someone rang my doorbell. Struggling out of bed, I yelled, "Who is it?" I heard a voice, sort of cracking, saying, sir, I brought you your wallet." I sat there. I didn't want anyone to know where I lived. So, irritatedly, I said, "Well, just leave it on the steps. I'll get it." There was a pause. After a while, she said, "Okay, sorry for the bad timing." Yeah, leave me alone. Because of what happened that night, my life changed. I got up and looked out the window. "I guess I'll make some coffee. That'll wake me up," I said to myself. My body was sore from the fight, but I'll be okay. I then thought about my housekeeper, Janice. I know that she will go out and get what I need today. I send Janice out for everything. Medicine, clothes, toothpaste. Well, you get it. She's my right-hand woman. She doesn't see the scars or the burns. She sees me. She's used to it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not helpless at all. I'm just a little mad, angry, and maybe selfish since the accident happened. I walk around at night, like some dark legend. When night falls, I go back to the donut shop. I've always went at this time, 9:30 p.m., a little before closing. I think to myself, great, no one's here. I can go in peace. Mr. James always asks, "How are you tonight?" On this night, he asked, "What happened to you the other night? Did those guys try to jump you?" I started, "Oh, right." Then I heard the store door open. It was her. "Hi, Mr. James. How are you doing?" "I want to get my usual 2 powdered donuts," she said. I hid behind a shelf. She kept looking at the back of the store. "Mr. James, are you the only one here?" He stopped what he was doing and looked at the back, nodded his head and said, "I don't think so." I stood still. I believe Mr. James knew that I didn't want to be bothered. She said, "I see the car outside that belongs to the guy that helped me with those jerks. Is he, here?" He left so fast I didn't get to say thanks. I could hear her voice from one aisle to another, looking. I stood there, quiet. Then Mr. James said, "Oh, look, here's your donuts." I heard her footsteps stop. Well, if he was here, he's gone now. "Maybe he just left his car outside," she said. The whole time I'm thinking to myself, how can I get out of this store? I peeked and saw her driving away in a pretty red sports car. I made a dash for my car and went home. I did get a little look at her. She had the prettiest blue eyes and blonde hair. I'm just glad to be home. This is my castle. But when I got home, for some reason, I had this rush of energy. I went back outside to my black Charger. I wanted to go for a ride. I felt sort of good. Right when I got in my car, my favorite song, Iris, was on by the Goo Goo Dolls. Man, that's my band. I hit the highway. It felt good to feel the cool air. Just me and my road. I mean, it was like heaven to be out. Feel the wind blowing in my hair with the top down. Felt like old times. I hung with every curve in the road. As I got on up the road, I saw someone's emergency lights flashing. Okay, you have got to be kidding me. Do I stop or do I keep going? I pulled over. I put my blonde hair in my face, a little more to the side to hide the burns. I put on my ball cap, the Giants, of course, and then hollered out the window, "Need any help?" A woman slowly got out and said, "Could you help me? I have a flat tire." "Sure," I replied. I got out. "Ma'am, you can stay in your car. It's cool out. I can fix this." I could tell she was scared, so I told my story about being a fireman. That kind of calmed her. I stood up. "See, ma'am, it's fixed in no time." She smiles and said, "Let me pay you." "No thanks," I said. Just listening to my old fireman stories were enough. "But it's dark out. You might..." She stopped me and said, "I know. I need to get off the road. Thank you." She noticed that I kept standing sideways as if I was avoiding her. So she didn't persist. She just drove away, and so did I. Now, back to the Goo Goo Dolls. Maybe that was what I was supposed to do, run into someone who needed help. Oh well, glad to serve. Or maybe I felt a little alive. Someone as pretty as her wanted to meet me, but there was part of me wanting to know if we would never meet again. I didn't want to. Soon it will all pass. She'll get over that night. It happens all the time. People get emotional all the time when you save their lives or stop something bad from happening to them. It's 8:45 p.m. I go to the library to turn in my books. I'm standing, looking at the shelves for another book to check out. I see her at the computer. I stood behind a shelf and watched her. I promise you, she stopped typing as though she knew I was looking at her. Then she turned in her chair and began to type once more. I looked up again, and she was out of her chair. I thought, where did she go that fast? She was on the next aisle behind me. I stood as still as I could. Then I heard a voice say to me, please, don't go this time. I feel that you don't want to be bothered, but I think that was so cool what you did for me the other night. I won't come on your side, but thank you. Then she asked, are you CIA or do you work for the government or something? I laughed. No, I'm just me. At the right place, the right time. I noticed that the other night you kept your head turned away from me. Is something wrong? She asked. I was breathing hard. No, but I'm late. I have to go. She stopped me and asked, could we have a cup of coffee? Where? I asked. I know a nice, quiet place, and it's dark. The table seatings are really private, she replied. I said, sounds like my kind of place, but for now, why don't you just email me? I gave her my email address. That will have to do for now. She laughed and accepted it. I said, we can chat from time to time if you'd like. Shh, the librarian said. I told her that I had to go and left. When I got home, there was an email. It read, I'm sending you a picture of me. Tomorrow, we're meeting friends at the beach. You're welcome to come. No, I'm good, I thought. I sat there for a minute and stared at her email. I replied, maybe another time. That night, I went to sleep with her on my mind. I reached over and hugged my pillow. It was the next morning. I woke up and said, good morning, then went straight to my computer and emailed her. Good morning. How are you? Great, she replied. What do you have planned for today? Not much. Take care of a few things around here. And then there it was, the big question. Are you married or dating? Is that why you're so evasive of others? I replied, no, I'm just really shy. She was glad for that answer. I could tell. Then she asked, what kind of music do you like? Anything, you name it, but mostly pop. How about you? She replied. The same. We sent each other smiley faces. I have to make myself presentable. Before I signed off, I sent her another message. There has to be some good-looking dude somewhere waiting for your email. She replied, no, I hope there's not one. That's a shame, I sent. Wait, I'm going to switch over to Skype. I can see you if you want to, or you can just see me, whichever is cool, she said. Then I asked, wait, what's your name? Amanda. Nice to meet you, Amanda. I'm Nick, I sent. All of a sudden, her face pops up on my screen. Eyes like the ocean. Just beautiful. I'm not into all this technology out now. I'm a little old-fashioned, and I don't know how to use Skype. What do you do for a living? She asked. I replied, well, I used to be a fireman. On Saturdays, I taught the neighborhood kids a little kickball if I had a chance off from work. What about you? Amanda asked. Hey, I better go take a bath. I have to go, she said. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Seems like someone has found a friend that really wants to meet. What do you say? Janice, my housekeeper said. I turned around in my chair. Janice, this will pass. I don't get excited, but I couldn't help but feel some sort of excitement, a little alive again, but scared of being hurt. I'm glad for the companionship and something to look forward to. I felt somewhat different, I told Janice. I think I'm going out today. I thought she was going to drop her tea. Somewhere. I went to Amanda's college. She didn't know I was coming. I watched her walk around her classes, joking, but sometimes serious. I smiled. I felt somewhat proud of her. This is crazy, right? I didn't want to get used to her. My phone went off. It was her. How was your day? Mine is hectic. I was too nervous to even text back. What is wrong with me? I text back anyway, the same as yours. Then I cranked up to leave. She texts back. You know, one day I'm going to see you somewhere. I laughed and replied, you will. A few seconds later, she sent another message. Hey, we're having a party Friday night. It's kind of like a costume party. Will you come, please? No pressure. I said, sure. What time? 8 o'clock p.m. See you there. I'll email you the directions. Well, as you know, that's right up my alley. I already had a mask at home, but it was for an old Halloween party that the guys and I threw. Talk about nervous. I was so nervous. I couldn't really cope. I wanted to call her up and say, hey, just get one of your friends to take you. But at the same time, I was really excited. This was an outlet for me. I didn't know what costume to get, but Batman was the best. The mask had to cover my face. I know what you're thinking, but it's an issue for me. I had to admit, I'm in good shape. I had my costume laid out across my sofa. I'm somewhat looking forward to it. Come on, who am I kidding? I am on my way to the party. It's 7:45, and the wind is cool. Fall leaves are falling. My kind of night. As I'm pulling up, I see lots of people walking around, laughing. I look in the mirror to double check and make sure everything is covered. After all, I'm not staying here for a long time. Just wanted to see her and keep my word. Oh God, I sighed. Let me take a deep breath. After all, this isn't something that I do. I'm a loner, and I like that. This is a big house. It's very dark. I got out of my car and stood. I walked around a little. No one cared. Everyone seemed to be having fun. Just as I was getting a drink to calm my nerves, I stopped and looked around, and there she was, just as beautiful as ever, dressed as Cinderella at the ball. It's like our eyes locked on one another. She stopped to talk to her friends, then walked over to me. Let me guess, Batman, she said. I smiled. She continued, I thought you wouldn't come. Come here. I want you to meet a few friends. They're really great. You'll like them. She dragged me over to a group of girls. I don't know if I would say they're friends. One of them pinched my butt, but they seemed nice enough. Amanda brought me some punch. For some reason, I felt less nervous. People were walking around, having fun, laughing, some drinks. Once a fireman, always a fireman. I'm looking around to make sure everything is okay. The music is loud. The stars are pretty in the sky tonight, Amanda said. I replied, yeah, they are. Amanda's dress was white with blue ruffles. She was wearing pretty glass slippers. Her hair blew in the wind. Her lipstick was slightly pink with a hint of gloss. She took my hand and we walked around. Everywhere was decorated. It was really pretty. But most of all, I had Amanda's hand, hers and mine, mine and hers. She asked, will you ever take off the mask? Are you sure that you aren't CIA or that you work for some secret organization? We both laughed. Then I said, no, maybe. She asked, why didn't you want me to come in to give you your wallet? I replied, I'm just private, I guess. If you want a kiss, you'll have to move the mask, she said, laughing. We both laughed and just kept walking, looking at the stars. Then she asked, so, are you going to tell me about your past? Let's just say I used to save lives, I replied. She laughed. Like you saved mine? You were so courageous. You make it sound like the movies, I said. I felt my heart skip a beat as I was holding her. The fall leaves were blowing. Reaching up, she says, come on, please take off your mask. To stop her from removing my mask, I took her hands and kissed them. She said, wow, you are smooth, but not smooth enough. She stood up on her tiptoes and kissed my lips softly. I think at that moment, my heart skipped a lot of beats. It was so short and soft. I felt her breath on my face. Then we lay down in the leaves, looking up at the stars, in each other's arms. She told me all her plans for the future. She wanted to be a designer. I hope I can get in a school for designing in New York. I asked her, "Will you be leaving soon? I thought you would finish here." "Well, New York is where I'll get the most experience," she replied. Then an alarm went off. "Oh, well, it's time for me to get home," she said. As we were getting up, I said, "Cinderella really has a certain time to leave the ball?" Amanda sighed. "Well, I have a test tomorrow." I walked her to the car and opened the door. She asked, "Will I see you tomorrow?" I have to admit, my heart was a little hurt to know that she's leaving soon. So I replied, "I don't know." "You have your future ahead of you. I feel we should..." And before I could finish, Amanda said, "Let's just enjoy each other until I do leave, if I can get into the school." And she kissed me bye. I closed her door and watched her drive away. Then I did the same. Truly, I feel like I'm on cloud 9. I could have laid there with her forever. I didn't want the night to end. It was the best I've had in a long time. You could say I had a big head. I heard girls yelling on the way to my car, "Batman, come save me!" That little voice came in my head saying, if only she knew what was under my mask. But things with Amanda had me on such a high that night, it didn't matter. When I got home, I threw my hat on the floor and threw my body across the bed. I couldn't sleep. I haven't had feelings like this in a long time. She's the most beautiful woman I've ever laid eyes on. The next morning, Amanda called me. That was the highlight of my morning. She told me that she really enjoyed my company and the kiss. She asked, "Will there be a next date?" "Sure," I replied. "Let me check my calendar." "Oh, really?" she said, and we both laughed. She said, "The next date we go on, I want to get to know you better. The real you, not Batman." I laughed and said, "Yeah, I wish you could get to know the real me." "What do you mean?" she asked. I told her that it was nothing, then said, "Okay, sure, but let's take it one step at a time. I don't want to interfere with your lessons. Just let me pick a date and time so I know that I'll be free." We agreed, but deep down inside, no matter how high on the cloud I was, I quickly came back down to earth. The fear, the nervousness was still there. I couldn't be Batman forever. I certainly couldn't hide behind a mask forever. I mean, I wasn't a monster, but I wasn't myself either. As I hung up the phone, I stopped in the hallway. "Why did you do that? Why did I play with fire once more? I know in the end I'll get burned." I just stood there with all the negativity running through my head. There was a feeling to just push her away and tell her that I was married. Maybe I should lie so she can go away and forget about me. At least I'd have last night in my memories forever. When we were walking around the party, I saw other guys looking at her butt. But she stayed with me. She held onto the back of my belt. Now that I think about it, she couldn't keep her hands off of me. Okay, that was a joke. But really, what am I going to do? I didn't know which one I was more afraid of, going back to work as a fireman or going out on a real date with her. I thought about going to work as a part-time fireman, but I don't know yet. The guys are saying that they need someone. Janice thinks that it would be good for me to join the real world again, but I knew what I really had to do. If I were going to join the real world, there would be some choices I'd have to make. I'd have to put all of my focus on regaining the courage that I'd lost. Well, that made it easy to put Amanda on the side. I mean, after all, it is better to end this now before we get too close. How would I tell her? Email? Letter? On the phone? Would she even accept my excuse? I decided to go back to work, part-time for now. It's been good to be with the guys again. I have the night shift this week. I am on my third night. I haven't been talking to Amanda. I haven't answered any of her calls these past few days. I was standing outside the station, listening to some guys joking on one another. It was a quiet night, a little too quiet. I wanted to call her so bad. As the night passed, the phone got quieter, the email slower, and my heart sadder. I hear some music coming from across the street. It's "Thinking About You" by F. Ocean. I'm just thinking I should call her now, but it's not worth the hassle. Here the guys know me. I can't go through all the hiding. I'm just moping a little. No one wants to be alone all their life. Everybody wants a soulmate. But for now, I'll just sit here. I drive to the college and watch her walk across the grass. Sometimes I laugh when I see her being silly. I even see her walk off to herself and call me on her cell phone. I didn't answer. I even see the disappointment on her face. I didn't think you could have a connection with someone you don't really know well. But she felt the same. Janice said, "Why don't you call her? Is it too much to live and have a job?" I replied, "Don't you think I've had enough excitement? Trust me, I don't need too much." "Okay, if you say so," she continued. "You've been alone like this for 3 years." "But I'm not going to pry," she said. I just told her that if I could handle it, I would. I know, I cop out. I hate treating Amanda like this. My phone is ringing. I need to say something, but I didn't answer. I woke up to a knock on the door. I just laid there, quiet. But the knocking continued. I whispered under my breath, "Oh God, come on." I looked out the window. It was her. I stood there, quiet, in hopes that she would think I wasn't at home. She soon left. Later, I decided to take her through a little test, just to see if it was just me or not. I took a different car and went to her school. I put on my blue hoodie just in case I decided to back off of it. I saw her coming off the school premises. I got out to look at her tires. She was coming my way, straight towards me. See, I had to know what she would think and how she would react when she saw me. I was tired of running and pushing her away. If this doesn't work, well, what do I have to lose? Just as she was walking towards me, I turned my head away so she didn't get a glance to see my face. Just as she was walking towards me, I turned my head away so she didn't get a chance to see my face. But I saw her out of the side of my eyes. She turned, looked back, and asked, "Hey, do you need help?" I kept my head turned. "Nope, I don't, but thanks." I raised up and got in the car. "Yep, I'm a punk." When I got back to work, we had a call. Maybe I was a punk in that area, but not in this one. Hey, I show out, first one in. I put all the lost energy to work and rescued 2 people, an elderly couple. I felt the rush again. I hadn't felt it in a long time. This was what I needed. It made me forget about all the bad things that happened before. I felt great as we were going back to the stadium. I was happy. I needed that. The guys came in, patting me on the back. "Welcome back. We miss you." I have to admit, I miss them too. I mean, these guys are like family. I kind of pushed them away as well. But hey, I'm back. Afterwards, me and the guys went out for drinks and watched the game. Across the way, Amanda was studying at the library for exams. Her parents have loads of money, but I guess she wants to make her own way. I admire her for that, but I was determined not to let that get my mood down. I do miss the thrill of talking to her, though. I think she really gave me back my confidence in a way. And yes, some days I do watch her at school and at the library where we first talked. To some people, I am considered shy. How can 2 people who hardly know each other have so much chemistry? I need to shake her, but I can't. Part of me just wants to let her get to know the real me. It felt good that night at the party when we were holding hands. Sad to say, 6 months has passed. I began to go my own way and she did as well. Every once in a while, we would see each other from a distance, but soon that stopped. After work, my buddies and I would go out for a few beers and relax. Then we would go home. I would lay in my bed at night listening to my scanner to see if someone needed help. Once again, I was living my life alone. But it wasn't bad. I kept her picture up on my computer. I would go to it every once in a while. My alarm goes off at 7:15 a.m. I missed two calls from an old girlfriend, Becky. She's a wild thing, believe me. I guess I will have to take her up on the offer. No, don't get the wrong idea. We went out on a few dates, but there was nothing there. She's fun and all, but this is just for tonight. A few drinks and laughs over old times. I could use a laugh or two. So I took my bath and put on my black slacks and black t-shirt. Knowing Becky, she would want to come back to my place. And let me not be rude, but Becky, long brunette hair with brown eyes, long slender legs, and sexy as hell, if you know what I mean. But I'm not into that kind of life anymore. She's the type of girl who loves to have sex while high. I don't do drugs, but being with Becky, well, she could make you feel high without the drugs. But for tonight, let's just keep it simple. Besides, Becky knows that I don't like a fussy scene, just a quiet place and a nice dinner. When we both arrived, we hugged. It was a nice, warm setting. She drove her car, I drove mine. We talked for a while, then she asked, "Do you kiss the company of a woman? How long has it been since the fire?" I guess she was glad to see me out and about. I asked about her and how life was treating her. She said fine. We enjoyed each other. We talked, shared a dessert, and then went our separate ways. About 2 more months passed. I was lying in bed, listening to my scanner when I heard that there was a 2-car collision. All available assistance, please respond. I jumped up and put on my equipment and went out the door. When I arrived, there wasn't many people on the scene yet. The highway was very curvy. You have to know it well. I ran down the hill. They said there was 2 people in the car, and one of them needed to be cut out. Me and another firefighter went to get the hydraulic rescue tools out of the truck. There was blood everywhere. "Can we get a little more light down here so we can see better?" I asked. "It seems to be 2 in this car and 4 in the other." As we were cutting and pulling, a hand flopped on the ground. I bent down so that I could see the person. It was Amanda and her friend. My heart dropped. They had a little too much to drink. We slowly pulled her from the car. She was unconscious. They were all rushed to the hospital. I rode in the ambulance with her while they worked on her. When we got there, I waited in the waiting room. I watched her parents walk back and forth, crying. The other parents as well. They didn't know who I was. I heard the doctor tell Amanda's parents that she was in a coma. They didn't know what else to do. Her parents were so hurt, but they weren't giving up on her. Each day, when I could get some private time, I would go visit Amanda. I would change her flowers and talk to her for about an hour, or just sit quietly. One day, I went to the hospital looking for her, and a nurse said, "Oh, she's not on this floor anymore." She showed some improvement, opened her eyes, and remembered a little. They took her out of ICU. "That's great news. Thank you," I replied. I took the rose I had gotten for Amanda to another patient. I didn't go back to the hospital for a while, but I would call and check on her. One day, the nurse said, "She's doing fine, way better, but she keeps asking for Nick. Do you know a Nick?" I replied, "No, I don't." I didn't want to give my real name because I didn't want her to know who I was. I was shocked to know she heard my voice while she was in a coma. Sometimes I would joke with her and say, "You better open those pretty eyes if you want to see me." Her parents told her she was just dreaming because I hadn't visited the hospital at any time. I'm guessing she bought it. I heard that she was getting out of the hospital today. Good for her. I guess it was back to the game for me. About 2 months passed. I was lying on my sofa watching TV when my car alarm went off. I didn't think. I just rushed out the door. I looked around. I didn't see anyone. I stood there for a minute. I soon realized that there, on the hood of my car, were donuts. I looked around and walked over to the car. But just as I was going to pick up the box of donuts, I felt someone behind me. I stopped and turned around. It was Amanda. We both just stood, staring at each other. Slowly, she walked towards me and rubbed my face. Her eyes watered up, and I began to turn away from her. She wouldn't let me. I still couldn't look at her. She turned my face towards her and began to kiss me softly on my lips. I knew I wasn't dreaming, she said. You were there, once again, to save my life. I heard you talking to me. I want to tell you something. She paused, then continued. You're the most beautiful, courageous man I've ever known. Then once more she kissed me. And well, I forgot about the donuts. So there you have it. I just wanted Amanda to know the real me, not the man I hid behind. I was free to love her the way she deserved. She made me feel like there were no flaws or burns, only me. And I love her for that, forever. My story, Nick.